Sorry. I've fallen into bad company lately. He turned to the metal door, took a deep breath, and knocked twice. The metal was strangely warm under his knuckles, and the sound was very quiet, as though the door had somehow soaked it up. There was a long pause, just long enough for Owen to wonder if he should knock again, and then the door swung silently open, revealing a dark and brooding forest. Tall trees crowded together on either side of a narrow earth path, the thick foliage so dark a green as to seem almost black. An umber glow fell down past the trees in long shafts of dust-filled light. There was a thick, solid smell of earth and mulch and growing things. Owen got as close to the opening as he could without actually passing through it, and strained his eyes against the gloom to see how far back the trees went. But there seemed no end to them. The others crowded in behind Owen, murmuring quietly to each other. There was something about the forest that demanded quiet and respect, like a living cathedral. Well, was this here the last time you were here?
Oh, yes. I remember this. It's a sanctuary the Wolflings built for themselves, terraforming it out of the cold rock. What more would wolves need than a forest to run and hunt in?
Is it safe?
How should I know? A lot could have changed in the 943 years since I was last here.
Great. Wonderful. All right, pay attention, everyone. Anybody else feel like leading the way? No, I didn't think so. Follow me, then. Hazel, you tuck in right behind me and keep that big gun of yours at the ready. Let's try and be calm about these people, but feel free to blast large holes in anything that looks dangerous. This doesn't strike me as safe territory. Something here is tugging at my instincts and putting my nerves on edge. Everyone stay close, but don't crowd each other. And don't go off on your own under any circumstances. I think this could be a really unfriendly place to be lost in. When we meet the Wolfling, remember we're guests here, so mind your manners and watch the bad language.
He really does like making speeches, doesn't he?
It's part of his charm.
What charm?
Precisely.
Owen didn't look back at them. He wouldn't give them the satisfaction. He checked his sword and his guns to be sure they were ready to hand, and stepped through the doorway. The heat hit him like a smothering blanket, and he almost stopped. But he made himself go on. The rich, dark smell of the forest was almost overpowering, and the heavy heat brought sweat to his face that evaporated almost as fast as it formed. The bare earth path was firm under his boots, but not level, and he didn't need to be told that no machinery had ever traveled this route. Owen kept walking, doing his best to appear casual and totally at ease, just in case anyone was watching. The light in the forest was dim and slightly diffused, as though a very fine mist filled the air. Owen glanced back to make sure the others were still with him, and almost missed a step as he saw the forest stretching far away behind him, till it disappeared into its own gloom. The open door stood alone in the middle of the trail, with only a glimpse of the silver plain to be seen through the doorway, like a glimpse of another world. As he watched, the great metal door slammed shut with a quiet, emphatic thud.
Ever get the feeling that someone's trying to tell you something?
I think we can safely assume someone knows we're here. Which is just as well. I have a strong feeling we're not going to get very far around here without a friendly guide. I don't like the idea of our retreat being cut off. The only way back to the Standing is via the transfer portal, and that's on the other side of the door, which I will lay good odds we won't be able to open. He has a point. I don't even know how it opened from the other side.
We could blast it.
Yeah.
Hazel hefted her heavy gun with great enthusiasm.
Let's keep that as a last option. We're supposed to be here as friends, remember? If we follow this trail, it should lead us to the Wolfling. Lead on, Owen, and try not to step on anything delicate.
Hold it. Can anyone tell me what's wrong with this picture?
They all looked around them, and then back at Ruby. She smiled briefly.
The quiet. No birds, no movement, even the air is still. Apart from the trees, I'd say we're the only living things here.
Of course. This isn't a real forest. It's an artificial construct the Wolflings built to make themselves feel more comfortable. Those aren't real trees, any more than this is real sunlight.
Owen frowned. You mean these trees are fakes?
Oh, they're real enough. Alive, too. Just artificial. How else do you think they've survived down here all these centuries?
Owen decided he wasn't going to ask any more questions. He didn't like the answers he was getting. He set off down the path, and the others followed him. They walked for a while in silence, the soft thudding of their feet on the packed earth, barely enough to disturb the quiet. If anything, the air seemed to be getting hotter. Owen didn't know whether to feel relieved or not. Before coming down, he'd asked Ozymandias how cold it was likely to be in the depths of the planet, and the AI's answer had not been at all reassuring. Apparently, the Standing's sensors didn't normally record readings that low, anywhere apart from deep space. Cold with a capital C, the AI had said. Better wear your woolly underwear. However, once Giles had activated the transfer portal, the ship's sensors immediately registered a rise in the temperature to acceptable levels in the portal's immediate vicinity, which suggested that not only was someone or something still running the systems down below, but that someone or something now knew they were coming. Owen just wished they turned the heating down a notch. And then he rounded a corner in the trail and came to a sudden halt as he saw exactly what was waiting for him. His first response was to grab for his disruptor, and he only fought the impulse down with an effort. The tall figure standing motionlessly some way ahead was most possibly the most dangerous thing he'd ever seen in his life, including the aliens of the murderous jungles of Chandrakor. The others piled up behind him, but apparently one glimpse over his shoulder was enough to convince them that they didn't want to get any closer either. The figure had a man's shape, but it didn't stand like a man. Easily 8 feet tall, its broad, shaggy head had a definite lupine shape. Intimidatingly wide shoulders swelled out into a barrel chest that plunged into a long, narrow waist. The figure was covered in thick golden fur from the top of its long-eared head to the large paws that served as its feet. The legs curved back like a wolf's, and something in the way the figure stood suggested it would be just as happy running on 4 legs as 2. The furred hands had long, jagged claws, and long teeth gleamed a dirty yellow in the grinning mouth. The eyes were the most disturbing feature. They were large and intelligent, and almost overpoweringly ferocious. The rebels had found the Wolfling. Or he had found them. Owen licked his suddenly dry lips and couldn't make himself move his hand away from his gun. The Wolfling was standing as though he might attack at any moment, and Owen had no doubt it would take a damn sight more than his sword to stop him. Giles had called the Wolfling the ultimate predator, a genetically designed killing machine. And now that he'd seen him, Owen agreed completely. Just standing there, he was a threat, only an impulse away from an unstoppable killing rage. And everything from his savage glare to his viciously clawed hands marked him as a wild and uncontrollable force. He growled softly, and all the hair on Owen's head tried to stand up. Owen swallowed hard. Beyond trying to shoot the beast, he was at a loss for what to do. Apart from a suicidal urge to walk up to the Wolfling, pat him on the head, and say, "Nice doggy." He pushed that thought aside very firmly, as the Wolfling growled again, and Owen glanced back over his shoulder. "Giles, I think he wants to talk to you." The original Deathstalker pushed his way through the others to stand at Owen's side. He bowed formally to the creature before him and smiled easily.
"Hello, Wolf. Been a long time, hasn't it?" "Not long enough."
The Wolfling's words were low and harsh, but not especially threatening.
Every time you come here, you bring me trouble. What bad news have you brought this time?
The Empire's right behind us. They want the device, and to hell with what it costs them. I mean to get it before they do. That means going through the maze, which means we're a little pushed for time. Will you help?
There's always time to greet old friends.
And the Wolfling grinned easily. It was not a pleasant sight. He moved forward with sudden grace and embraced the Deathstalker. The large man almost lost in the great furry hug. They laughed together, and the Wolfling released him. He studied Giles with his head cocked on one side.
You said you'd be back someday, but after 900 years, I'd almost given up hope. Damn, boy, it's good to see you again. But I see you have company. Introduce us, and I'll decide whether or not to eat them.
He grinned his unnerving grin again as Giles made the introductions. Owen assumed the Wolfling had been joking, on the grounds he found it too worrying to believe otherwise. Hazel bobbed her head politely, but kept her gun trained on the beast. Ruby didn't even bother to be polite. Random smiled warmly, and even shook the clawed hand without missing a beat. Presumably, in his time as rebel leader, he'd learned to be diplomatic with all sorts of allies. The Wolfling and the Hayden man just looked at each other for a long moment, and then looked away, as though they'd decided to call it quits for the time being. Owen wondered what the two artificially created beings thought of each other. Two bastard sons of man's ingenuity. Jealousy, perhaps? When his time came, Owen made himself shake the Wolfling's hand. It wasn't as bad as he'd thought. It was just like shaking a hand in a very thick glove. As long as you didn't look at the claws. They were long and thick, the deep yellow coated with dark smudges that might have been dried blood, or might not. Owen decided he wouldn't ask. Up close, the towering beast smelt heavy and rank, a strong animal scent that lifted the hairs on the back of Owen's neck again in a pure atavistic response. He smiled bravely and let go of the Wolfling's hand as soon as he properly could. The beast turned back to Giles.
He's your kin, Giles. The smell of your blood is strong in him. What will you and he do with the device once you have it again? Use it against your enemies, or destroy it?
We haven't decided yet. For the moment, we think it important simply to keep it out of other hands. Is it still safe and secure in the maze?
How would I know? I haven't looked at the damn thing since you teleported it into the middle of the maze all those centuries ago.
Weren't you ever curious?
No, not in the least. I would have destroyed it the first moment I set eyes on it. I saw what it did to you after you used it.
Take us to the maze, Wolf. We haven't much time.
What about the tomb? You promised you would take me to it.
The Wolfling looked at him thoughtfully.
There are many of your kind waiting in their tomb. Have you come to waken them at last?
Yes. Our time has come. The Hayden man will walk forth upon the stage of Empire once again.
The Wolfling nodded slowly.
Well, you certainly sound like a Hayden man. More aristocratic than God and twice as arrogant. I'd wish you luck, but why tempt the fates? But as a word of caution and warning, would you like to see what remains of my race? It's really very instructive.
He turned away without waiting for any answer, and padded off down the earthen path. He moved quickly, with surprising grace for his size, and the others had to hurry to keep up with him. The Hayden man strode along with his face blank and impassive, but his golden eyes were fixed on the Wolfling's back. Owen shot a glance at Giles, but his face was carefully impassive too. Whatever he remembered about the Hall of the Fallen, he wasn't giving anything away. They walked on through the silent forest, no one willing to break such a perfect silence with inconsequential chatter, until they came to a sudden branch in the trail. The Wolfling took the left-hand path, and it quickly led them to a bare face of rock, a giant stone slab rising hundreds of feet into the air, a massive tombstone in the midst of the forest. Owen craned his neck back, but he couldn't see the top of it. The wolfling placed a great hand flat against the stone, and a door opened up in the stone wall, swinging silently inward on unseen hinges. A stark white light appeared in the doorway, and the wolfling walked into it. There was a slight pause, and then the others followed him in.
And this was how they came to the Hall of the Fallen. It was a great cavern, hewn out of the heart of the stone, lit with bright, unforgiving light that came from everywhere at once, and hid nothing in shadows. In niches in the walls of various sizes stood all that remained of the wolfling race. Some were almost complete, standing proudly erect, with their death wounds left unclosed and uncleaned. Dried blood crusted ugly wounds in the midst of torn and matted fur. Some were missing limbs or heads, and others were merely body parts collected together. There were thousands of them, in thousands of niches, the slaughtered dead with unseeing eyes over endlessly snarling mouths. Still beyond stillness, battered and broken, most lacking even the illusion of life. Owen turned slowly in a circle, his mind overloading with images of death and destruction. There were too many to count, bodies and parts of bodies, a race wiped out because it was too good.
Welcome to the Hall of the Fallen. I built it myself over the years, because there was no one else left to do it. It took many years, but I've always had plenty of time, if nothing else. I gathered all the dead, left to lie where they had fallen, my triumphant empire, and brought them here one at a time. I am the last of the wolflings, and I did not want my race to be forgotten. It is a sad and bitter honor to be the last of one's kind, and it carries heavy responsibilities. Has the Deathstalker told you how they died? No matter if he did. He remembers it his way, and I remember it mine. We were stronger and greater than the race that created us, with a future and potential they could not hope to match. I sometimes think they would have forgiven us anything but that. So they came in their ships and destroyed us from a safe distance. The last of us hid away in our tunnels beneath the burning forests, and they had to send their men in after us. And for every wolfling that died, we took 100 human lives in payment. But there were so many of them, and so few of us. And in the end, there was only me. The Deathstalker came here sometime later, looking for a safe place to leave his device, and found me here. He chose to let me live. Whether that was an act of kindness or one last twist of the knife, I still am not sure. I lived on here, building my hall and gathering my dead. I even found a use for the human dead left behind. They've made good eating down the centuries, over and over. And even after endless recycling, they are still pleasing to the palate. But you have heard enough from me. The Madness Maze is waiting for you. If you're ready, I'll take you to the entrance and entrust you to its tender mercies.
What exactly is the maze? Do you understand what it does and why?
I've been studying it for centuries from a cautious distance, and I'm no nearer understanding it now than I ever was. Aliens built it, though it was sometimes credited to us. But if they had a specific purpose in mind, they had never returned to tell me of it, and they left no testament. They came and left long before my time, or humanity's. The maze has killed most of the people who entered it. Perhaps you will have better luck. And if not, I give you my word that if I can recover your remains, you will not go to waste.
He grinned his disturbing grin again and stalked out of the Hall of the Fallen. The others trailed after him, muttering among themselves. Owen moved in close beside Giles. Has he really been eating people all this time?
Wouldn't surprise me. Wolf always had a unique sense of humor.
And all those bodies in the Hall of the Fallen, there's no sign of stasis fields there. Why haven't they decayed over the centuries?
Giles looked at him. I told you, the wolflings were immortal.
He strode on, and Owen decided very firmly that he was going to change the subject. The more I hear about the maze, the less I understand. The wolfling said it killed people. Why is it so important to you that we go through it?
The maze is a test. If you pass the test, you live. Everything else is just hearsay. If you want its history, Moon could tell you more than I could.
I have never seen the maze, but every Hayden man knows its story.
Moon didn't look round as Owen moved up beside him, but his voice was calm and even.
The history of the maze is the history of my people. A long time ago, scientists came here, into the dark void, in search of the maze and the wolfling who guarded it. One by one, they passed through the maze, and though many died and more went insane, the survivors emerged greater than they had been. These few scientists created the laboratories of Hayden, founts of wonders and marvels beyond anything ever seen in the Empire. They worked at incredible speed, cold and perfect thoughts moving through their newly opened minds, and together they created the first Hayden men. The laboratories worked day and night, first to produce clones by the thousand from the genetic templates of their creators, and then to turn those blank organic slates into augmented men, superior men, Hayden men. Finally, the scientists made themselves into Hayden men and led their children out into the Empire in search of their destiny. And that was the First Crusade. The Empire sought to use us at first, in its little wars and rivalries, but they quickly grew afraid of us. We were learning so much of what we could and might do, working wonders, and conquering all who stood against us. And everywhere we went, we brought the gift of transformation, of man into Hayden man. We were guards of the genetic church, and people came to us in ever-increasing numbers. The Empire tried to stop them, but they could not stop what we had become. We were the ultimate destiny of humanity, the merging of man and machine into a whole far greater than the sum of its parts. What the maze had begun, we had completed. And so we began the Second Crusade, to transform the whole Empire into what we had become. The Empire fought back. They had been split into warring factions for so long that we considered them weak and easy prey. But in fear of us, they put aside their differences, and we found ourselves facing a single, determined empire, with all its power and resources. We were superior, but they were many. And in the end, we fell before their might. The survivors fled back to Hayden in the dark, and lay themselves down to sleep the sleep of centuries in the tomb of the Hayden men, so that time might pass without them, and they might emerge into a future empire, more ready to accept their clear superiority. And those few of us left behind, denied the peace of sleep and sanctuary, made what lives we could in a human empire, growing gradually weaker and more human all the while, surviving when it would have been so easy to lie down and die, so that one of us might yet find their way back to Lost Hayden, and awaken the sleepers once again to glory and destiny. Our time has come round once more, and this time we shall fight on, until we are successful, or we are all dead. And all of this, because a few men walked through the maze and it changed them. Tell me, Deathstalkers, what do you think you will become if you survive the maze? What new destiny will you steer humanity toward?
Owen looked at him silently for a long moment, and then fell back to rejoin his ancestor. I don't think I've ever heard him say so much at one time since I met him. Coming home has made him positively chatty. You, on the other hand, haven't told me one damn thing you didn't have to. Why is it so important for us to go through the maze? What do you expect to happen?
we will become greater than we are. We can't remain as we are and hope to survive. The Empire will kill us. Our only hope is to take a step into the dark, and hope it forges us into a new kind of humanity. Someone or something capable of standing against an entire empire.
And if that something isn't human anymore?
Giles smiled suddenly.
Then the Empire had better pray we're pacifists.
And finally, they came to the Madness Maze and stopped to stare at it. The forest came to a sudden halt, as though thrown back by the sheer alien presence of the maze. It seemed straightforward enough, a simple pattern of tall steel walls, shining and shimmering. It was only after Owen had looked at it for a while that he realized it wasn't simple at all, but subtle and intricate, like the folded convolutions of the human brain. There were no obvious traps or dangers, only the steel walls and the narrow paths between them. The walls were 12 feet tall, but only a fraction of an inch thick. Owen went to touch one, and only snatched his hand back just in time. The steel was deathly cold, so cold frost had already formed on his fingertips. Owen retreated to a cautious distance and breathed heavily on his fingers. Above the maze, there was only darkness, untouched by the shimmering glow of the walls. The maze lay stretched out before him, like a sleeping predator, too wide to go around, and beyond it lay the tomb of the Hayden Men. Owen scowled. He still wasn't sure how he felt about the tomb. Whatever the maze did or didn't do to him, he was going to need the army of augmented men if his rebellion against the Empire was to stand any chance. But could he take the risk of unleashing a force he couldn't hope to control? An army of living weapons dedicated to toppling the Empire in the name of their own superiority? Owen had no love for the Empire, but he was still human, and that gave him certain responsibilities. He shrugged angrily. The Empire had backed him into this corner. They would have to live with the consequences. And he would just have to hope the maze gave him the ability to control whatever he let loose upon the universe. He glanced round at his companions, who were still silently studying the maze. Hazel was glaring at the entrance, as though daring anything to come out, and unconsciously hefting the heaviest of her guns. Ruby Journey was casually polishing her sword blade with a piece of rag, while keeping a wary eye on Hazel. Jack Random was frowning thoughtfully, his lips pursed as he looked from one steel wall to another, as though in search of some detail that would give him an insight into their nature. Tobias Moon stood a little to one side, arms folded across his chest, his glowing golden eyes staring right through the maze to the tomb beyond. The wolfling was sniffing the air cautiously, as though checking for signs of an approaching storm. And Giles Deathstalker was studying the maze as though it was a worthy opponent in some as yet undetermined game. Owen took a deep breath and let it out slowly. It didn't calm him nearly as much as he'd hoped. Giles had described entering the maze as a step into the dark, and that was exactly how Owen saw it. There could be anything waiting inside the maze, anything at all. But he had to go in. The Empire could be here at any time, and he'd run out of places to hide. The devil before and the devil behind, and damned no matter what he did.
I don't know about the rest of you, but this thing disturbs the hell out of me. Are you sure there isn't some way around it?
No. My people surrounded their city with all kinds of lethal unpleasantness, all of which are no doubt still in excellent working condition. My people built it to last. They wanted to be sure their rest would be undisturbed.
Then why leave the maze open?
Because the maze created the Hidden Men. It scares them. Possibly the only thing that ever did.
I'm going back to the ship.
Ruby sheathed her sword.
I don't want to change. I like the way I am just fine.
You can't back out now, Ruby.
Watch me.
I'm afraid it's no longer possible for any of you to return to the Standing.
Ozymandias was in all their ears.
An Imperial Star Cruiser has dropped out of hyperspace and assumed orbit around the planet. And it's a big bastard, too. Its sensors immediately discovered the standing, and the castle has been forced to raise its shields. If it were to drop them long enough to transfer any of you back on board, I have no doubt the Dauntless would immediately reduce the standing to a great many pieces of interestingly shaped rubble. So the shields are staying up.
Never mind protecting your silicon ass! Get us the hell out of here! Do something!
What would be the point? Where could we go that they wouldn't follow us? Our only hope is to pass through the maze and wake the Hayden Man. Don't tell me you're afraid, Bounty Hunter.
All right, I won't tell you, but someone's bound to notice. Only the foolish and the dead are never afraid, and I have no intention of becoming either. There are too many unknowns here. I don't like the odds.
I've faced worse odds than this in my time. Of course, I got my ass kicked quite a few times. You stick with me, Ruby. I'll hold your hand if things get scary.
You so much as lay one finger on me, and I will personally cut it off and make you eat it. Same goes for anyone else.
I believe her. And Hazel nodded solemnly.
Enough talk. My people are waiting.
Moon strode forward into the entrance of the Madness Maze, and was immediately lost to sight. The others watched, half-tensed for some angry reaction within the maze, but the moment dragged on, and nothing happened. They all looked at each other, but there was nothing left to say. So one by one, they entered the maze, until they were gone, with nothing to show they had ever been there.